Welcome to KUI News, the collaboration between the University of Idaho's own student-operated radio station, KUI, and its editorially independent student newspaper, The Argonaut. Stay up to date on everything going on your campus and beyond every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Once in the morning at 9:30 a.m., and once after you're actually awake at 3:30 p.m. Welcome to KUI News for Friday, March 29th, 2013. I'm Dylan Brown. Upcoming on today's broadcast, Allison Griffith has a preview of this year's Native American Film Festival coming to the Kenworthy Performing Arts Center this weekend. Britt Kaiser takes a look at what put the Corner Club among the top 20 college bars in the country. In sports, Sean Kramer has a report on how Vandal football has found a home finally in the Sun Belt Conference, thanks to some familiar names. Theo Lawson examines a brawl involving members of both the UI and Washington State football teams. And Kevin Bingman takes us back through this year's history-making season for the women's basketball team. From RAR, our weekly arts and entertainment insert, Caitlin Krassel has the perfect surprise for your friend's birthday, a homemade peanut butter cookies and cream ice cream cake. And finally on KUI News, Argonaut Editor-in-Chief Alisa Egarin has our view on why Don Burnett's appointment as interim university president is a good move for the university, for now. But first, this news. Assistant Vice President of Enrollment Management Steve Neheisel said although this year's spring enrollment totals of 11,551 students fall short of last year's 11,707, those apples have turned into oranges thanks to a new way students are being counted and a change to when the numbers are reported. Neheisel said people want to make the comparison, but they are two different times and two different populations. The changes and other mitigating factors have left Neheisel content with the university's efforts, despite the decline.
We don't compare spring to fall, and for this year, we're not comparing spring to spring of last year either. This spring came in about what we'd expected. It's a good number.
Spring numbers are always smaller than fall. This year's decline from 12,937 at the end of last semester is the same 11% decline as last year.
The key for spring, I think, is looking forward to fall.
In a document given to the Faculty Senate this week, Neheisel examined the prospective numbers for next fall, with mixed results. First, the good news. The new student numbers are up. 8% more freshmen applied and 6% more were admitted. However, UI Provost Doug Baker's positive takeaway from the spring numbers was the improvement in diversity and access.
There's additional work being done in diversity, and I don't know if you saw the diversity numbers, but our students of color are up about twice the rate of majority students.
Wow.
So we're making great strides with students of color. Very proud of that and the work our staff's done.
The other positives for the enrollment department were a 92% retention rate for freshmen from fall to spring, and a record Vandal Friday turnout, up 11% from last year. Both forecast good news for next fall's enrollment numbers. However, now the bad news. Continuing student retention was down for the second consecutive year, as fewer students on the whole were continuing their education at UI. Neheisel attributed the drop-off to smaller freshman classes in both fall 2011 and 2012, as well as the change to the graduation requirement, which lowered the number of credits a student needed to graduate from 128 to 120.
No.
I mean, the university's goal is improving graduation rates, so, but if they graduate, it doesn't always help the enrollment. I mean, they're conflicting goals. You want more enrollment, but if you get them out.
With outgoing President M. Dwayne Nellis's stated goal of having 16,000 students in Moscow by 2020, this dichotomy leaves the future of enrollment at UI in flux. Growing the undergraduate population, though, remains the goal for the moment.
So if we can grow the freshman and transfer new, that then serves as a foundation for long-term growth.
For KUI News, I'm Dylan Brown.
The University of Idaho's annual Native American Film Festival is an opportunity for people to listen and watch contemporary stories from contemporary Native people, said Janice Johnson, an English and Native Studies professor at UI who helps to create the festival. She said throughout the 11 years of the festival, they have tried to make sure the films shown are modern pieces that depict current life for the Native people. Besides showing contemporary movies, The Lesser Bless as United States premiere, the festival also includes question and answer sessions with various people, from John Trudell, a poet, artist, actor, and activist, to directors such as Alex Smith and Ken White, a UI alum who is also a screenwriter. Many of the filmmakers are young and up-and-coming in the industry and just want to get their films out there, she said. Though the festival is showing two main films, Friday they also have a night of short films, and on Wednesday, a documentary about John Trudell, created by UI students, was screened. Trudell is known as an activist and said that he started out as a nativist, but it encompasses so much, racism, sexism, and environmentalism, he quickly became an activist for all of those things, he said. He said he was looking forward to interacting with everyone and that this festival is important. Johnson said the festival gets better and better every year, and the audience grows as well. A series of short films will be shown at 7 p.m. on Friday, and Winter in the Bledge shows at 7 p.m. on Saturday, both at the Kenworthy Performing Arts Center. For KUOI News, I'm Allison Griffith.
The Corner Club is approaching historical landmark status in downtown Moscow, and the favorite watering hole for college students stacks up against its competition nationally as well. With a profile of one of the top 20 college bars in the nation, Britt Kaiser has this report.
At first glance, it doesn't look like a typical college hangout. There are bright lights, a few bar stools and tables, no music, a random assortment of University of Idaho memorabilia, a shuffleboard, and a couple TVs. The Corner Club in downtown Moscow is more than a college hangout or sports bar, and it appeals to a varied crowd. It is most people's unofficial home for the time they spend here, club owner Mark Trivelpe said. It doesn't really have any rules or boundaries as far as who comes. We get farmers in here at 10 a.m., and then college kids. And of course, when alumni come back to town, they want to go see the Corner Club. The Corner Club was recently ranked number 5 among the top 20 best college bars on the website bestcollegesonline.com. UI senior Bailey Merwin said the Corner Club is by far her favorite bar in town because they don't try to be anything they're not. Merwin said she also appreciates the club's quality yet affordable beverages. Specials unique to the club include Ladies Night, which features half-price well drinks, and Peanut Night, in which free peanuts are served and attendees can throw the shells on the floor. Trivelpe said the Corner Club is also the home of the tub and is the only bar in town with a shuffleboard league. The winning team gets a free bar tab and t-shirts. Corner Club bartender Billy Myers said the club is also deeply ingrained in sports history. They have some of the premier Idaho sports memorabilia that exists. And then there's a story of Gus Johnson. Johnson played basketball for Idaho in 1963 and had a reputation for being one of the first high flyers in the game and one of the pioneers of the dunk, according to UI Athletics. Trivelpe said then-owner Hermie Goetz asked Johnson to show customers his vertical. Starting from a standing position near the bar, Johnson jumped up and touched a spot on a beam 11 feet 6 inches above the floor. A nail marked the spot, and Goetz said anybody who could reach it again would drink for free. Trivelpe said it wasn't until 1986 that College of Southern Idaho basketball player Joey Johnson, the younger brother of NBA star Dennis Johnson, grabbed and bent the nail on his third try. The club has since been renovated, but a black brick above the door now commemorates the spot. Trivelpe said what is now the Corner Club was initially Moscow Brewery in 1983. Between then and 1948, it was converted into a restaurant, church, and a mission. Goetz and his partner Neil Lind bought the building in 1948 and turned it into the Corner Club. Trivelpe and his wife Stacy are the third set of owners. Trivelpe said he worked at the club from 1996 to 99 and bought it in 2007. Meyer said what makes the Corner Club special is its ability to transcend social norms. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
That was a first track from Lust from Youth, today's featured artist on KUI News. That song was titled Behind the Curtains off their latest album, Growing Seeds. Seemingly at the end of the line, Idaho football has finally found a home in the Sun Belt Conference after exhausting nearly every other possibility to remain an FBS school. With a look at the move, here's Sean Kramer.
Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to your good buddy, Carl Benson, once again. Just a year after the crumbling of the Western Athletic Conference, the University of Idaho has found a new football home. Benson made the news official on Wednesday that Idaho will compete as an independent in 2013, then will join the Sun Belt as a football-only member in 2014 and beyond. Idaho was left fending for itself when the WAC disintegrated as a football-playing conference early in 2012. But Idaho AD Rob Spear was steadfast in his stance that Idaho would remain in the FBS. The Sun Belt was Idaho's football home from 2001 to 2005 when the Olympic sports resided in the Big West. Idaho had then consolidated all of its sports in the Western Athletic Conference. This time around, Idaho will house its non-football sports in the Big Sky while football is in the Sun Belt. Non-football sports will remain in the WAC one more year. As for independence, it was originally a two-year plan, though that was before the pendulum of realignment swung again in Idaho's favor, just as Spear has anticipated. The Sun Belt is losing Middle Tennessee, Florida Atlantic, and Florida International to Conference USA, so the Sun Belt has reached out and been proactive in expansion. Georgia Southern, Idaho, New Mexico State, and Appalachian State will all join the Sun Belt in 2014. Idaho will enter the Western Division of the Sun Belt with New Mexico State, Texas State, Arkansas State, Louisiana Lafayette, and Louisiana Monroe. Benson anticipates that the Sun Belt Conference will play a conference championship game. Travel is a concern for both Idaho and the teams in the Sun Belt. Benson said that there will be a travel subsidy for teams having to travel to Moscow and Las Cruces, while Idaho anticipates playing more out-of-conference games in the Western United States. The Vandals are only anticipated to have to play 4 conference road games a season. Revenue is also a reason that Spear wanted to make this move. He anticipates Idaho will create an additional $1 million in conference revenue in 3 or 4 years after the move. The Sun Belt does have a contract with ESPN for television. For KUI News, this is Sean Kramer.
2 campuses 8 miles apart mean there are bound to be the mixing of Vandals and Cougars. But for members of the both football teams, it was anything but a friendly interaction. With an investigation of the fight that landed 1 Washington State player in the hospital, Theo Lawson filed this report.
Following interviews with both parties, Pullman police are reporting that Washington State football player Monsell Simmons and an unnamed Idaho football player are both claiming self-defense after engaging in a fistfight during a party that took place Saturday night in Pullman. The altercation occurred during an alleged brawl between the WSU and Idaho football teams and the parking lot of the Sacred Heart Catholic Church, close to Maple Street, where the party was said to have taken place. Simmons suffered a skull fracture and was transported from Pullman Regional Hospital to Sacred Heart Medical Center in Spokane, where he was diagnosed with further injuries. Simmons regained consciousness Monday and was interviewed by investigators Thursday. Yesterday, we interviewed Simmons, got his half of the story, Commander Chris Tennant told the Argonaut Wednesday. In a nutshell, he's claiming self-defense. Both claim self-defense. Tennant doesn't anticipate that any arrests will be made, though the investigation will continue. The case hasn't provided enough evidence to jump to any conclusions, and Tennant said assessments will be made at the end of the week. He does expect to interview a few people who claim to be witnesses if they agree to speak about the incident. Detectives were unable to come to any conclusions regarding a gun and a knife that were reported to be present during the brawl. That same evening, a vehicle parked in the Sacred Heart lot was smashed and was said to be the car of Idaho receiver Karen Watts' girlfriend. Watts was not a part of the altercation and isn't a suspect, according to police. Tennant said it's a fair assumption that there weren't any other altercations Saturday evening. Neither athletic department has made a statement regarding the incident, and Idaho coach Paul Petrino would not comment when asked about it following Wednesday's football practice. For KUI News, I'm Theo Lawson.
Despite an absolute beating at the hands of powerhouse Connecticut, the Vandal women's basketball team truly had a season for the books. With a look back at Idaho's run all the way to the NCAA tournament, Kevin Bingaman has this story.
After 28 years, the Idaho women's basketball team made it back to the NCAA tournament after winning its first ever WAC championship in a season that won't soon be forgotten. The Vandals entered the WAC tournament as a 3 seed and played 3 tough games. Idaho beat San Jose State on a buzzer beater in their first game, narrowly beat Utah State by 2 in the semifinals, and pulled out a narrow 67-64 victory over Seattle U in a championship game to claim the WAC crown. A week later, the Vandals headed to the Big Dance, but unfortunately for Idaho, the Vandals drew a 16 seed and had to play number 1-seeded UConn, which ended in a 105-37 loss. Idaho coach John Newley said his team came prepared, but it showed just how good UConn really is. The season ended how Idaho wanted it, with a WAC title, but the start of the season didn't look like a championship was on the way. The Vandals lost 9 of its first 12 games, but played some tough teams in the stretch, including Montana, Washington, and Gonzaga, which Newley said helped his team down the road. Idaho will be in a good position to repeat next year when the Vandals return all but 2 players from this season, and return all of their starters. On top of that, some of the tougher teams in the WAC, including Utah State and Louisiana Tech, will be moving out of the WAC, which could open things up even more for Idaho. Newley said regardless of the returning talent and the talent Idaho has coming in this year, it'll take a lot of hard work to get back to the top. He said turnovers and reboundings will be at the top of his list to improve on. For KUI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Second track called It's You by today's featured artist Lust for Youth off their latest album Growing Seeds. Cake. Everybody loves cake. And ice cream cake is a step up from normal cake. But peanut butter cookies and cream ice cream cake? Yep. Caitlin Krassel went there in today's recipe from the Argonauts food blog, Crumbs.
You can never go wrong by surprising your friend with an ice cream cake for their birthday. But you also don't want to spend a lot of money purchasing one from the nearest ice cream store. This homemade peanut butter cookies and cream ice cream cake is a tasty, easy-to-make alternative to store-bought ice cream cake. It is the perfect combination of a classic American cookie, one of the most loved chocolate bars, and the natural creaminess of vanilla ice cream. One bite and you'll never go back to regular store-bought cake ever again. To make this cake, you will need 1 package of Oreo cookies, approximately 24 cookies, 5 tablespoons of margarine or butter, 1/2 gallon of vanilla ice cream, and 1 bag of mini Reese's peanut butter cups. To make this cake, first lightly grease the bottom and sides of a springform pan. Then, in a food processor, crush 2/3 of a package of Oreo cookies until fine for a crust-like consistency. Melt the butter and add to the crushed cookies until well blended. Evenly spread the crust mixture in the bottom of the pan and press down with a fork until fully compacted. Next, freeze the crust for 10 minutes. Remove the crust from the freezer and spread 1 quart of vanilla ice cream evenly over the crust. Roughly chop the remaining cookies in a food processor and sprinkle evenly over the ice cream layer. Freeze for another 20 to 30 minutes. Remove the first layer of the cake from the freezer and spread the remaining vanilla ice cream over the cookie layer. Roughly chop your desired amount of mini peanut butter cups and sprinkle over the top ice cream layer. Finally, freeze for 3 to 5 hours before eating. To serve the cake, run a large knife under hot water and cut around the perimeter of the cake before releasing the spring. Drizzle caramel sauce over the cake to finish it off. Crumbs is the official food blog of The Argonaut. For more recipes, visit uiargonaut.com/crumbs. And be sure to like Crumbs on Facebook, as well as follow @UICrumbs on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. For Emily Varstra and KUI News, I'm Caitlin Krasselt.
President Dwayne Nellis was officially approved by the Texas State Board of Education as the president of Texas Tech University beginning in June. However, the University of Idaho has been quick to fill the void that will be left by Nellis with a man equal to the task. With our view on why Dean of the College of Law Don Burnett was the obvious and right choice for the job, here's Argonaut Editor-in-Chief Alicia Guerin.
A top-quality university begins with top-quality administrators who understand the value of education and put their personal interests aside to accomplish what is best for faculty, staff, and students. The University of Idaho Board of Regents voted unanimously Wednesday to appoint Dean of the College of Law, Don Burnett, interim president of UI. Burnett will take over as president June 1st, as current president M. Dwayne Nellis starts his new position as president of Texas Tech University June 15th. Burnett's background ensures he will bring leadership and professionalism to his new position. He has a bachelor's degree from Harvard and law degrees from the University of Chicago and the University of Virginia, and also served as dean of the Brandeis School of Law at the University of Louisville. Burnett has been dean of the UI College of Law since 2002, which makes him UI's longest-serving dean. Although his educational and professional career is impressive, Burnett also has a personal interest invested in UI. Burnett was born in Pocatello, and his parents and wife are former Vandals. He served on the Idaho Court of Appeals, which contributes to his understanding of the state. As a dean who has served under five UI presidents, Burnett has been exposed to a variety of leadership styles and ideas. His efforts in establishing a second and third year law school program in Boise show he is capable of envisioning and completing long-term goals for the university. Burnett understands the traditions and history of UI and will serve the university well as interim president. His familiarity with university functions should ensure a seamless transition between Nellis and him in June. But even though an interim president has been appointed, UI should not lose sight of its need for a permanent president. Burnett said he will not return as dean of the College of Law once his interim presidency is over. As interim president, he is also not a candidate for the presidency. This means UI has two crucial roles it needs to fill on campus, and the comfort we feel in establishing an interim president should not make us lax in the search for a new president and dean. But for now, the university is in good hands. For KUOI News and the Argonaut Editorial Board, I'm Alicia Guerin. We'll be right back.
last track from Growing Seeds, the latest album by Lust for Youth, today's featured artist on KUI News. You can hear that track, OSK, and all the other college radio chart toppers right here on your student radio station, 89.3 FM in Moscow. That's going to do it for KUI News for March 29th, 2013. But the Argonaut doesn't stop here.
Check out your student newspaper
on Facebook,
Twitter,
and Pinterest.
Also, be sure to check out the rest of Student Media's outlets, including
RAR.
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 RAR is the Argonauts' weekly arts and entertainment tab that showcases everything from reviews to quirky features. Find RAR inside the Argonaut every Friday and online at uiargonaut.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter by following at RAR Weekly.
Can't get enough Argonaut photos? Look at online exclusive photos and more on our Facebook page at facebook.com/uiargonaut.
Hangry, hungry, parched, craving something sweet? Visit the Argonauts food blog, Crumbs, at uiargonaut.com/crumbs. Like Crumbs on Facebook and follow at uicrumbs on Twitter and Pinterest for new recipes every week.
To stay up to date on everything Idaho athletics, check out Vandal Nation at thevandalnation.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/Idaho Vandals, and certainly check us out on Twitter at Vandal Nation.
And don't forget about the University of Idaho Student Magazine.
Leprechauns are said to hide pots of gold at the ends of rainbows. If you're lucky, you'll find one pot in your life. Blot comes out twice a semester, and it's as close as your nearest newsstand or your computer. Go with the sure thing. Go with Blot. Find your pot of gold at blot.uidaho.edu.
Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to KUI News. I'm Dylan Brown. Have a great weekend.